Hey, it's Leo for Actualized.org. And in this episode, I'm going to be talking about overcoming subtle addictions. The greatest addictions aren't even considered addictions. Addictions are bogging you down, taking up all your time so you have no room left for personal development work. That becomes a big problem. In this episode, what I want to do is I want to help you to draw a distinction between gross and subtle addictions. Now, I've released an episode in the past called Overcoming Addiction, which talks mostly about gross addictions, the stuff that we would conventionally think of as addictions, the bad stuff, the bad habits. And I talk about some of the root causes of that and some solutions. So definitely check that out. That's a foundational episode. Here, we're going to do like a part two, and now we're going to get into the more tricky and the more subtle stuff, which is still very important because you need to free up room so that you can do all the other work like meditation, journaling, contemplation, self-inquiry, and all that other good stuff to actually get the results from self-actualization that you want to see. But first, let's ask the question, what is an addiction? It's something that you do repeatedly, which has negative consequences, which leads to overconsumption and feelings of low consciousness, dirtiness, guilt, and regret. It's painful to stop doing it because it creates withdrawal symptoms and cravings. And then this activity becomes like a crutch, which gets you stuck in this loop that you can't stop. And this loop is an escape from legitimate suffering and growth, which is why we need to focus on addiction so much here. And it reduces your freedom and your ability to become aware. And awareness is really the key to all growth. So you can see how this addiction, all these addictions, whether they're gross ones or subtle ones, they're like ropes tying your hands behind your back, and then you can't really do anything with your life. Also, these addictions break your integrity. They disconnect you from your higher self, your highest values, and the pursuit of your full potential in life. And it's something that you hide and you're not proud of. So that, right there, in a nutshell, is what defines an addiction. Now, let's talk about gross versus subtle, this distinction. By a gross addiction, I mean the obvious stuff. So, of course, junk food, of course, drugs, of course, alcohol, television, video games, coffee, your phone, internet, porn, sex, gambling, shopping, this kind of stuff. A lot of these our culture recognizes as addictions. Okay. But some people set the bar so low that to them, half the stuff that I listed, they don't even consider as an addiction. For example, coffee or food. They might think of junk food as an addiction, but like when they think of junk food, they think of like the worst of the worst of the worst kinds of food. But then they don't recognize that even their normal, everyday, healthy food is actually still very addictive and very toxic. And the same goes with your internet usage and so forth. So the bar has been set very, very low in our society, and we need to raise the bar. So, of course, all these gross addictions are very deleterious to your efforts to self-actualize. They will stop you dead in your tracks. They take up all your time, all your energy, and then what can you really do to grow after that if you're hooked on bad food, drugs, internet, alcohol, TV, games, and all this kind of stuff? So obviously, you need to be quitting this stuff. Obviously. But then there's a lot of subtle stuff that you're probably not even aware of is a problem. And these subtle addictions are tricky because they're less tangible. They're more conceptually based rather than chemically or physiologically based. So food, drugs, these are chemical addictions. But then you've got conceptual addictions, which you shouldn't underestimate. Because a conceptual addiction could be even harder to unwire than a chemical one. And one of the reasons that is because these subtle addictions are not culturally recognized as such, and so they seem normal because your friends and your family are doing it. Your entire culture is engaging in this, and so it's just you're like a fish in water. You don't see it. And it's easy for your mind to rationalize them away, and these subtle addictions can even appear to be good. Some people will watch television and then convince themselves that, hey, this is actually good for me. And television, I consider a gross addiction. The subtle ones are really tricky. It's very easy to trick yourself into thinking that the subtle addictions are good. Also, it's hard to see the damage of these subtle addictions. Whereas with drugs and with food, you can feel really bad. You can see yourself putting on weight, so that's more obvious. Whereas with these subtle addictions, the damage is spread out across time, so you don't quite notice it. And you could be doing it for years and years and years and not really see what's happening. Also, these subtle addictions are so abstract that a lot of times you don't know how to get your hands around it or what you should even do to stop it. For example, with food, with drugs, with television, it's pretty obvious. We understand what needs to happen to stop these. You just stop taking the food, stop taking the drugs, turn off the TV. But with the subtle addictions, it's not like that. You don't really know what to do to stop it. For example, if you're addicted to love or approval, or you're addicted to arguing or to judging, how do you go about stopping that? A lot of these are deeply ingrained habits of your mind, and they're not easy to stop at all. And also, these subtle addictions are tricky because it's hard for the mind to imagine alternatives. Because you're so steep in this toxic culture that's also addicted, and all the media and advertising is feeding into this addiction, your mind can't see what your life would look like without this. What would your life look like if you never judged again? Or if you never argued or debated again? Or if you never sought love or approval from people ever again? Now we start to get into a lifestyle which is very out of the ordinary. You probably don't have a lot of friends or family members who live their life like this, and you might not even think that such things are possible because they're really outside your realm of possibility. And that needs to change, of course, if you want to really grow to your highest potential. That's one of the things that really holds you back from your highest potential, is that you don't even know what your highest potential could be. But anyways, what I want to do is I want to get you a lot more awareness around what all these subtle addictions could possibly be. So I have a lot of examples for you. I have a list of over 40 different examples. So let's get going, and I'll give you some commentary, and some of these are just self-explanatory. So being loved can be an addiction. And this one's very tricky because it seems like a positive thing. It's like, hey, I love love. What's wrong with love? Love is a beautiful thing. But it can become toxic very easily when you need it, when you're attached to it, when your whole sense of being and your entire career or your entire relationship or marriage or all your family life is all about being loved. And then you actually crave it when you don't get it. See, then you're hooked on it. Judgment and criticism is a big point of addiction for people. And they don't recognize it because our whole culture, in the media, in the news, in politics, it's all about judging and criticizing people. You can even get a job where they pay you millions of dollars to judge and to criticize others, and that's all you do, without recognizing that you're addicted to it. You've just also doubled down and made a career out of it, which is a real problem. Being right and proving others wrong can be a serious addiction. Arguing and debating is a big addiction that I see people falling into. Again, this is one of those where they make entire careers out of this, not realizing the kind of cul-de-sac that they're leading themselves into as far as their fulfillment and their spiritual development goes in the long run. Anger, hatred, and racism. These are addictions. And this point is actually one of the seven deadly sins is wrath, anger. Being moral or good can be an addiction. Preaching to others can become an addiction. And this one's especially tricky because those people who preach a lot to others and try to change other people end up oftentimes just using that as an excuse not to really work on themselves. And I've noticed that a lot in myself because this is kind of what I do, is that I give a lot of advice, but I have to be very careful to make sure that when I'm giving a lot of advice, I have to also be taking a lot of my own advice too. Otherwise, it can get very painful. Ideology and pet ideas can become very addictive. This includes, of course, various kinds of cults and religious ideologies, but not just that, also political ideologies, economic ideologies, scientific ideologies, or any kind of pet theories you have about life. These can become very addictive, and then you spend the rest of your life playing these games or trying to defend or to preach your ideology or argue and debate it. And you can waste a lot of time doing that while neglecting your own growth. Getting attention and being liked, which can be subtly different than the addiction to love. Just getting attention from people or being liked or being approved of can be an addiction. Arrogance or cockiness, this kind of attitude that some people take towards life or towards other people, this can be an addiction. And actually, this is also one of the seven deadly sins. It's called pride. Success, work, and career advancement. This is a huge point which tricks a lot of people. Some of our most high-functioning members of the species are trapped in this addiction. Success is very tricky because our culture really reinforces it. And mostly what our culture tells you about life is that the point of life is to become super successful. And when you get a little bit of success, that opens you up to having more power to get more success. And so, of course, you chase it and you get more. And then, of course, people tell you, hey, you're successful. And you're like thinking, okay, well, I should become more successful. And you just keep doing this, and this cycle never ends. And you can waste your whole life chasing success and then not knowing why you're not fulfilled with life. And that's because you're addicted to success. People just can't put it down. They're workaholics. They're trying to advance their career at all costs. That becomes a problem. Money can be a point of addiction. And money is different than success, because you can be successful and not have a lot of money. For example, you can be like a scientist or an author or something, and you're in it for, at least you're trying to do something like good with your career, maybe help people. Okay, that's good, even though that can still be an addiction. But money is just extremely shallow. And some people just get caught on this. It's like they're looking for the highest paying career they can get, or getting money through get-rich-quick schemes or the stock market or taking shortcuts. Once you make money your top priority in life, you're really going down a cul-de-sac there. It's only a matter of time until something catastrophic happens there. Material possessions and luxury can also become an addiction. And this is different than money because some people get addicted to surrounding themselves with stuff, fancy, luxurious stuff. Fancy cars, fancy houses. They'll spend a lot of time designing the interiors of their houses and marble bathrooms and carpets and drapes and all this kind of stuff. And that becomes addictive. That's almost like the same as a shopping addiction. There's so much cool stuff you want to buy, and then you go out and you just spend the rest of your life buying stuff. And the more you buy, the less satisfied you feel, because you can never really satisfy yourself with material possessions. Also, collecting and hoarding is another addiction that I see people having. They will collect coins, stamps, Barbie dolls, Star Trek figurines, and then they'll get very meticulous and perfectionistic about it, where it's like they got their little figurine that they bought on eBay for $1,000, and they want to keep it in pristine condition with all their other figurines, and if anybody comes in there and messes around with them, they get all upset at them. So that's clearly an addiction. Security can be an addiction. And this might come from, for example, if you grew up in an insecure family, you didn't have money or something else, you didn't have safety, and now as an adult you spend the rest of your time trying to get this security, whether it's security with your finances or security with your career. Just you want to get into a situation where you're completely safe and everything is known, there's no risks, because that's something your psyche wants. It's addicted to. Worry, anxiety, and fear. These can be all very, very addictive. Negative self-talk can be an addiction. And by negative self-talk, I don't just mean the words you say to yourself in your internal voice, but also the tone of those words. A lot of people don't even realize that they're speaking themselves in this nasty, harsh, negative tone. And then how do you expect to fulfill on your dreams with that kind of voice in your head? The past and old wrongs and feuds can be addictive. Some people are really hung up on something that happened to them in the past, and they make their whole future as a reaction against the stuff that happened in the past, and then they relive all the trauma or whatever that happened to them in the past, and then that becomes an addiction. Technology can be an addiction. And of course, I don't just mean TV, internet, and your phone. Those I consider gross addictions. Technology has also a subtle element of addiction to it, in that our culture right now is very technology obsessed, and people are always talking about the newest technology, and there's this whole expectation that's like, you have your newest phone, and who has the best gadgets? Did you get this gadget? Oh, my phone is an iPhone 8, or yours is a 9 and a 10, and there's like these technology wars, and then all these gadgets, you're following the gadgets, new gadgets come out, and everybody's hyping them up. VR, phones, augmented reality, whatever it is, self-driving cars, you know, this will just keep going and going and going and going. There's no end to technology. And then people get really hooked on this idea that the whole point of life is technological progress, without realizing that no matter what level of technology you're at, it doesn't really change how you feel about your life. Technology does not grow you. And in many cases, it just takes up a lot of your time and attention, which you need to do real inner work. Another addiction is being efficient and being productive. This is a very tricky one, because it seems like it's a great thing to be efficient and productive. And yet, the more you make your life about efficiency and productivity, the more you're actually missing the essence of life. You're getting sucked out of the present moment. You're not really able to be spiritual because you're lost in concept land, thinking about how to be more efficient at work, more efficient in school, more efficient with your morning routine. As you're brushing your teeth, you're trying to cut corners and do everything quickly, and you're trying to multitask and do all this kind of stuff. And I think a lot of very successful people, a lot of high-functioning people of our species fall into this trap, especially like CEO types, managerial types, entrepreneurial types of people. These types of people have a lot of potential for self-actualization, but they shoot themselves in the foot because of this efficiency trap. Also, min-maxing. A good example of this is with video games. I used to play a lot of video games. If you play video games, like RPGs especially, you know what I'm talking about with min-maxing. It's this idea of you have your RPG character, and you're trying to get all the stats perfect. You're trying to find what the best equipment is. How do you find the best loot and get everything skilled up? Get the most XP to get the highest character possible. But now imagine that applied to your actual life. And you can see how neurotic and addictive that can be if you live your whole life that way. It's a really inhuman way of living life. And you're guaranteed to be dissatisfied with that. Competition and winning is an addiction for some people. Being special or being the best is also an addiction. Prizes, awards, achievements, popularity, and fame, these can be all very addictive and very distracting. Multitasking and distracting yourself. Multitasking is a huge problem these days. And I notice myself getting addicted to just like trying to do three or four things at once, rather than just sitting down and working for 4 hours on some project that I have to do. I will work on it for 10 minutes, then I'll check the phone, then I'll work on it for 30 minutes, then I'll check the internet, then I'll do something else, then I'll listen to an audiobook while I'm working on it, and it just becomes a mess. And this really hinders your ability to raise your awareness, which is the most important thing you can be doing with your self-actualization, and really kills you with meditation, with your concentration practice, and inhibits self-inquiry. So there's a lot of bad stuff that multitasking does for you. Helping people and changing people can be very addictive. Some people get hung up on this idea that they are a helper and that their role in life is to help people and to improve people, to change people. And then that becomes part of their whole identity and they're addicted to it. And then all that, of course, backfires because they're not working on themselves. Family can be an addiction. Companionship and being with people can be a big source of addiction. A lot of people can't stand to be by themselves in solitude, and so therefore they can't meditate, they can't contemplate, they can't do a retreat, and they're always needing opinions from other people. They need comrades to support them. Otherwise, they can't motivate themselves. They can't be effective just by themselves. A good solution to this one is to do some meditation retreats, Vipassana retreats, or some solo retreats. Suffering can be an addiction, as can drama and self-sabotage. In a very sick and twisted way, your suffering can get so bad that you actually then want more suffering. And you, in this very schizophrenic way, you want to escape the suffering, but also you secretly want the suffering too. And of course, that perpetuates it. Control, power, and getting things your way can be a big addiction for people. Being negative, whining, and complaining is another one. Victim mentality is another one, where you start to think to yourself how you can't change your life and everything you're trying isn't working and it's failing and all the advice you're getting isn't any good and you can't apply it to change yourself and it's too late and all the limiting beliefs, all that comes in there and you start to feel very stuck. Thinking, theorizing, philosophizing, and speculating are big addictions. Almost everybody is addicted to thinking and over-conceptualizing. And this becomes especially a big problem when you're trying to pursue spiritual development and enlightenment. Analysis is another one. People get really addicted to analysis, and then they try to solve all the world's problems through analysis. And then, of course, that doesn't work. Boasting and showboating is another one. And this is also one of the seven deadly sins. It's called vainglory. Physical comfort can be an addiction. This is a really interesting one where you start to get comfortable physically. Like if you're a patient in a hospital and you've been recuperating from surgery and you're lying in the bed for a few weeks and you haven't been walking, and then you actually find it hard to just walk, to get out of bed, because you're so addicted to just being comfortable laying in bed or sitting on the couch. Laziness and procrastination, of course, turn into addictions. Laziness is like this slippery slope that you get a little bit more lazy, which makes it easier to get a little bit more lazy, and then a little bit more lazy, and a little bit more lazy, and then you're sliding all the way down. And then the lower you go, the harder it is to get yourself out of it. And this one is also one of the seven deadly sins. It's called sloth. Perfectionism is an addiction. I have an episode on that. Depending on others to support you can easily become an addiction. This one, more women face than men, but men can face it too. This one you might face if you're like a college student who depends on your family. Maybe your family is wealthy, so you're depending on them to support you, and therefore you don't actually go out there and learn how to provide for yourself. You're like a lion who doesn't learn how to hunt, and then you have to go out into the wilderness. That's a problem. If you're a woman, like a stay-at-home mom who's been taking care of the kids for 5 or 10 years, and then the kids are off at school and stuff, and now you got to go out there and get back in the workforce, but that's very difficult because you're dependent on maybe your spouse supporting you, and so you're stuck in laziness, stuck in a rut. Physical appearance can be an addiction. It can be an addiction in two ways. One is that you can be addicted about your own physical appearance, and that's what you see with celebrities who are really obsessed about, and they get plastic surgery after plastic surgery. And again, that's like a slippery slope that just goes right down into hell. They're never satisfied with their own physical appearance. And then physical appearance also with others. So some people just need everybody around them to be beautiful, especially their spouse or their girlfriend or their boyfriend. Your trophy wife, your trophy husband kind of thing. And then when your wife gets a little bit older, she's no longer beautiful to you anymore, so you run and go get a younger girl, and you just keep doing this over and over again. Negative motivation can be an addiction. A lot of people fall into this trap, and some of them actually can be very successful, but then they're miserable as hell, because the only way that they taught themselves that they can be successful is by always being pressured from the outside by dire circumstances or by pain. This is the example of, you know, the kid in school who gets the month-long book report, and then he spends 28 days playing video games, and the last 2 days when it gets really painful, that's when he can motivate himself to write the book report. Of course, usually doesn't come out too great when you do it that way, and even if it does, it's just miserable. Those last 2 days are miserable. And then some people learn to approach all of life that way, including their career and their business and other things. And they will only really act when they are squeezed and pressured into it by circumstances. And of course, you can become moderately successful doing that, but you're never going to reach your full potential doing that. And you're never going to be able to use that to become highly conscious. And another way that people do that is through guilt, which can be an addiction. So guilting yourself about everything you're doing over and over again. And then some people really get into that, especially some religious folks like the Catholics. Jealousy and envy can be addictions. I have an episode on how to deal with jealousy. Jealousy is actually also one of the seven deadly sins. Seeking newness, excitement, and fun, and also danger and adrenaline, this can be an addiction. Gossiping and bad-mouthing or talking behind other people's backs can be an addiction. Cleanliness and order also can be addictive. Cheating, stealing, taking shortcuts. That's another interesting one. And this one can be very damaging. And it's also very seductive once you go down this road of cheating and stealing, and you get a little bit of success with that, you're going to want to do more of it. Taking shortcuts can be very addictive. You take a shortcut in your business, and it happens to work a little bit, and then you take another shortcut, and another shortcut, and another shortcut, and then eventually you run your whole business into ground because you've been taking shortcuts. Or maybe you're taking shortcuts with your personal development, and that's not going to end too well either. Lying, manipulating, and exploiting. Some people get very addicted to this, and this can be very seductive because you can become a very good manipulator. And you can actually manipulate a lot of stuff, a lot of systems and people in the world, and become very successful and very famous doing that. But then on the inside, it's like you're selling your soul to the devil as you do this. So from the outside, people will think you're doing great, and you could easily trick yourself into thinking you're doing great, but actually you're becoming addicted to manipulation. And then you find that you don't even know how to interact with the world in any other way but to manipulate and exploit it. Mystical states can be addictive, especially once you get pretty good at meditation, and then you start to be able to tap into those high consciousness states, which feel really good, but then you get hooked on those. And lastly, hoarding knowledge can be addictive. Reading books just for the sake of reading books, learning facts just for the sake of having facts, using knowledge to impress other people, or just doing mental masturbation, learning a bunch of self-help theory, but then not implementing any of it, or just doing some kind of armchair philosophy. So watch out for that one. So that's a list for you. I'm sure you could find others as well. This should give you a really good sense of what I mean by subtle addictions. You see how some of these you probably never thought about before as being an addiction. And some of them society really tells you is good stuff, like knowledge. You know, when you're acquiring knowledge, people will applaud you for that. And rarely will someone tell you, hey, maybe you're addicted to acquiring knowledge. Or maybe you're addicted to success. Or maybe you're addicted to manipulation. Now, it's important to understand that the addiction is never in the activity itself. A lot of people get this wrong. And they think like, well, Leo, so just because I lied, that means now I'm an addict. I'm a lying addict. And just because I cheated once, or just because I gossiped once, that makes me an addict? No, not at all. An addiction is really a groove that's been carved in your mind. That's the addiction, not the activity. Just because you lie once or twice here or there, or you cheat, or you're chasing some money a little bit in your life, or you're guilt tripping yourself, or you're a little bit perfectionistic in this situation here, okay, that's fine. That's not necessarily an addiction. Here's a really easy way to tell that you're addicted. Stop doing the thing in question for 7 days and see if cravings come up and you compulsively want to go back and start doing it again. If cravings come up, that's your sign that you're addicted. It's a really nice, clean little litmus test for you. Now, of course, the million-dollar question is, how do we overcome all these? And what I want to do here is I want to give you a general strategy, because of course I could give you specific strategies for all of them, but then that would require individual episodes. And I do have some episodes, like I have an episode about perfectionism, about stopping being a workaholic, jealousy, and some other stuff. But here's a more general solution. So with the subtle addictions, the trick with them is that you forget about them very easily. So today you have the intention to stop overthinking, but tomorrow you forget. Or a week later you forget. See, it's very easy. And you're not even sure of all the ways in which you engage in the subtle addiction. So the first step is to apply a lot of awareness to the situation. You need to really start to watch yourself like a hawk and to see all the ways in which this addiction manifests and all the costs and benefits that you get from it. And as you're doing that, you also want to start to contemplate and to journal about the root cause of your addiction. And here's how I recommend you do that. So select your one addiction that you want to focus on. Let's say it's something like what? Let's say it's manipulation. So if you're addicted to manipulation, then okay, that's the thing you're going to be contemplating. Now what you want to do is you want to write down and list all the ways in which you do manipulation. And take some time with this because you need to actually go back into your past and look for examples of how you do this. And the more you find of these examples, the better, because that then gets you the awareness you need to be able to see it in the future. The whole idea here is you want to be able to have the foresight to see it before you actually start to engage in it. And that will require some work. So once you make this list, then ask yourself, how is this core to my identity? So manipulation, how is that an important, integral part of my identity? It's not just something I do. It's something that's core to me. It's serving a function. It's really an escape from something. What am I escaping from? Then ask yourself, why do I need this? Why do I need manipulation? And really try to go as deep as you can with that. You might discover some weakness in you, some belief about yourself. Like you need to manipulate because you think that deep down you're not capable of surviving if you don't manipulate. Or you're not capable of getting the love you want or need unless you manipulate. See, it's going to be something deep like that. So trace it down to its core. And then ask yourself the question, what would an alternative look like? What would an alternative lifestyle look like without manipulation? That's a very important question, because if you can't envision something, how are you going to work towards it? And with addiction, it's especially important because you can't just drop a negative addiction and leave nothing in its place, because that'll just create a vacuum or a void, which means that your old addiction will come back. And this is the problem that, like, for example, heroin addicts face, is that if you take a heroin addict and you ask them, well, what's an alternative lifestyle to this heroin addiction that you have? And one of the problems is going to be is that they can't even imagine it, because they're living in a whole, their whole lifestyle is wrapped around this heroin addiction. And when they think about something like maybe, hey, maybe I'm going to ditch this heroin addiction and I'm going to become like a yoga instructor. I'm going to become a meditator and I'm going to follow my life purpose. I'm going to clean my life up and I'm going to have a family and some kids and all that. Like if they have that kind of alternative idea placed in their head, well, first problem is that they won't even have that kind of idea. But even if they do, they'll quickly dismiss it because they'll see that, nah, that's not nearly as good as what I've got already. My heroin lifestyle is way better than that. So you need to consider an alternative that actually registers in your mind as a much better alternative. It has to have a sort of pull to it. It has to be compelling. So what would be the alternative to a manipulative lifestyle? And really carry that through. What would your life look like if you didn't manipulate anymore? What kind of amazing lifestyle could you build based on that foundation? So that starts to get you your vision. And then ask yourself this other key question, which is, could I let it go? Could I let go of this core aspect of my identity, which is manipulation in this case? Could I let it go? And there's multiple levels at which you can ask this question. You can ask it at a superficial level where it's like, yeah, I could let it go. In the same way that if I ask you, yeah, could you quit eating potato chips? You could say, yeah, I could eat quitting potato chips. But then I could ask you like, no, could you really let it go? Not just the activity of it, but could you let go that part of your identity? That's where a real shift can happen, is when you say to yourself, you know what? I actually am willing to not just not eat donuts anymore because I know they're bad and unhealthy, but like I can really let go of this mechanism of using donuts to fill this gap in my being. I could let that go. That's a whole nother level. That's where real change can happen. And be honest with yourself if you're not willing to let it go yet. Take a look. What are the things that are keeping you clinging to that thing? You might say, you know what? I'm not willing to let it go. My work is so stressful that I need to have my cup of coffee and my donuts every single morning. You might think about it like that. See? And then just keep thinking about it. Keep asking yourself, well, could I let it go? Could I let it go? Just keep asking and thinking about that until eventually you reach the point where you see that you don't need it. That really is just a baby blanket, and that you can let go of your baby blanket. And when you do, you can envision that great stuff will come. And then after you do all this journaling and all this contemplating, take your time with it, set the intention, a strong and clear intention that you are going to make this change. And intention is a powerful thing. You set this intention even when you don't know how yet you're going to make it happen. Maybe you don't know how to quit overthinking, or you don't know how to quit being jealous, but you can get clear with yourself. You can reach a point where you say, you know what? I'm just not going to tolerate this jealousy anymore. I'm setting the intention to become a person who is not jealous. And I don't know how I'm going to get there, how long it's going to take me. I'm sure I'm going to have my obstacles and my moments where I still get jealous sometimes, but I'm just going to keep my intention. And that's a very important element. Then what you do is you get a wristband like this, something along these lines, and you stick it on your wrist and you wear it and you use it to help you become more mindful and aware of all the instances throughout the day and throughout the week of where you're engaging in this subtle addiction. With the subtle addictions, this is very important. Because with eating, you clearly know when you've overeaten. But for example, when you're manipulating, most times you don't know that you're manipulating when you're manipulating, when you're addicted to it. So this thing here will help you to see it. And then what you got to do is you got to start to look for it everywhere in your life. And it'll be sort of like you're looking for a certain kind of car on the road. As soon as you set your filter for looking for that kind of car, you're going to see it everywhere, whereas before you never saw it. Ultimately, what you're after here is you're going to replace this baby blanket that you've been carrying with just raw being. Just being. That's ultimately what all these addictions are trying to avoid in your life, is just being. The presence of being and the sort of simplicity of it. You see, being is very simple. It's sort of mundane. It's not very flashy most of the time. And people don't like that. So they fill that void with all the addictions from above. If you really want to get a taste of what being is like in its pure form, try to do a solo retreat, like I've talked about in the past, where you just do 7 or 10 days of a retreat all by yourself, not talking to anybody, not distracting yourself with anything. Complete solitude. And get back in touch with yourself and face that emptiness within you. And then that will be really the root solution to many of these problems. But nevertheless, you still have these habits ingrained in your mind. So these solo retreats, what they'll do is they'll put you in touch with being in the sense that they'll give you a good preview of what your life could be once you go through and systematically over the years clean up all these addictions. Don't try to clean up all these addictions at one time. It's not going to work. This is a lifelong project here. So if you're even cleaning up just two addictions per year, that will quickly snowball and turn you into an amazing person, and your life will be amazing. It'll feel amazing after a few years of doing that. Ultimately, the reason that you want to remove all these addictions is so that you're free, you're liberated, and you're undistracted, and you have the time and the energy and the awareness to get to work on yourself and to get to work on all your dreams, on your life purpose, on following through on your top values. That's what it's all about. This is one of the highest leverage things you can do to self-actualize and to change the quality of your life. Because most people have so many of these addictions that from the time they wake up in the morning to the time they go to bed, it's just a series of them living out one addiction after another. It's like addictive breakfast, then addictive work style, then addictive phone, addictive family life, addictive relationship, addictive lunch, addictive more work, addictive emails. You know, it's just like addictions, addictive entertainment, and then addictive dinner. And it's just addictions from morning to night. So where in that schedule can you fit things like meditating, contemplating, reading good books, going to seminars, etc.? You can't. You see, you can't. And that's one of the reasons that most people can't really self-actualize, is because they're just so stuck. Their schedule is just too full. So start opening that up, and then you'll get a lot more out of these videos. All right, that's it. I'm signing off. Please click the like button for me, share this episode with a friend, and come check out actualize.org. This is my website. I have some exclusive resources there, including my blog, my life purpose course, my book list, the forum, and other stuff that I hope to release in the future that you can only find there. So check all that out, subscribe to the newsletter, and stick with me for more in the future.